Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
Experimental radio produced by NASCAD University.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here. Experimental radio from NASCAD University. This week's episode is entitled Pandora's Clown Car. Here are the Nothing to See Here community announcements. You are invited to the Relational Aesthetic Meetup Group, who will be gathering once again in the basement of St. George's Church on North Street this Thursday at 7 p.m. Please bring a large vegetable, a tube of silicon sealant, a handkerchief wet with the tears of a close relative, and a cherished memory from your preschool years. As usual, participants are asked to dress in a single color and refrain from being ironic. And this Friday, it's time for The Sting Thing, a benefit performance for the North End Beekeeping Collective featuring the Uberklutz Clowns and the melodic stylings of folk singer Bess Utering, as well as the stand-up comedy of local popular YouTube jokester Carl Firmingham. Those who also bring two non-perishable food items will get a free medicinal bee sting from Morse the Bee. There will be a raffle for what organizers call the best honey this side of Nirvana. And speaking of Carl Firmingham, this week his latest YouTube video, you know the one with the eggplant and the policeman, has become the most watched comedy video in Eastern Canada. Carl has hinted there will be an eggplant theme to his appearance in next month's Asexual Pride Day parade. Anyone interested in hotbox yoga and polar dips will be excited with the announcement of the second annual Perils Cove Purple Plunge that will be happening this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in the old cable station wharf in Perils Cove. Next week, the city of Halifax will unveil a new public sculpture by the well-known local artist Courtney Klein. This work has been commissioned for the recently renovated Old Market Square Park in the Hydrostone District. Not much is known about this work, but anticipation is high for this controversial artist's latest project. His Plinth Inside a Plinth project from last year's Enlightenment Festival still stirs up his distractors. This commission, dedicated to the still-classified heroics of Canadian intelligence staff in the undisclosed foreign wars, is a difficult commission and one suited for the subtle aesthetic palette of one of Halifax's most notorious artists. Tramp-hop duo The Spaztastics play the Moo Moo this Saturday, and Murph McGuire and his troubled past swoop into town for a show at the Corners Report. On Saturday, Moonpile plays at the Yucky Club, with local upstarts The Churches opening. On Thursday night, join a who's who of local musicians and a few special guests from the rank of Halifax's board game scene who have pooled their talent for a 1970s TV commercial and cartoon theme song tribute night. This event, called Schlock Therapy, is hosted by CKPU radio personality Big Trick Dick, who has promised to bring some of his much-boasted fishing hats along for the show. On Monday, complimentary tickets are still available for a live taping of the TV show The Porn Dubbers. This is the second season of this runaway hit, described as the East Coast answer to The Beachcombers. The raunchy postmodern comedy follows the Littles, a down-home Eastern Shore family, as they retool the family fishing franchise into a thriving porn business. This Saturday, the Plagiarists are playing at the Artful Dodger downtown, and local favorites the Cartons are opening. Doors open at 8 p.m. All Smiles is playing an all-ages gig at the Summer House on Sunday afternoon. Pie Chart is playing at the Belly Button on Monday, and Tuesday be sure to drop in for Yoga Karaoke with Denise Milken. Dames Dames is playing at the Sugar Shack next Thursday to support their release of their new EP, Trouble Tuck. And the Unexpected Theatre Company is continuing their series of surprise pop-up performances. Sign up, or even better, sign up one of your friends for an unexpected theatrical performance staged in real life when you least expect it. This has been Nothing to See Here's Community Announcements. I am a connoisseur of the intangible. I grasp at thin air. I binge on empty calories. I get drunk on non-alcoholic beer. I crave that decaf buzz. I've heard all of the trees as they fall alone in the forests. The angels who dance on the head of a pin are all personal friends of mine. I have memorized all the places of pie, and they were delicious. I watch movies with my eyes closed. I read only novels written in invisible ink. I don't tweet, I exude. My autobiography will consist of quiet, haunting feelings of a room that has recently been abandoned. I only like things that can't be put into words. I think that everything is better left unsaid. Those things we cannot speak, we must remain silent. I am a fan of blindness. I long to live in an anechoic chamber. I believe absence makes the heart grow fonder. I believe silence is golden. I believe children should be neither seen nor heard. I like unfinished symphonies, but only the part that's unfinished. I am an avid reader of didacted texts. I prefer dust to marble. I have devised an elaborate classification system the catalogs, twinkles in the eye, glances, sighs, wanton looks, and quick intakes of breath. I started an institute that is doing advanced research on deja vu. I long for the sweet hereafter. A promise is better than the thing itself. And the only applause I need is the sound of one hand clapping.
Must at first, after first terror, imagine pincushion happy, jubilant, running. Maybe he's a god. As he strains with all of his might and can't walk home because it's taking him days, he's lost track of how many days. And it's accelerating. He's getting to the point where it's easier to sit, but he can't sit. He needs to see his family. He needs to see his daughter. His wife, she'll take him back. Something is happening to him. Something is happening. It's getting harder and harder to make sense of anything. Everything is there, it's open and connected. He can feel the light. But his stomach, it's taking too long to walk home. He can't even walk down a street properly. Before it took him, he doesn't know, 6 minutes maybe? 10 minutes? He's afraid. He's gonna die if he can't get something to eat and drink. His clothing is starting to have holes in it. It must be the light that's open to him. But no human should be here. No one is prepared. Maybe he's been dead all this time. If he could just see her, smell her hair, hold her hand. He doesn't know how long he's been trying to move. He used to feel so strong, like every muscle was hard and powerful. He was the light. But now he's... His stomach is driving him insane. He wants to rip at his hair. He wants to walk up that familiar driveway, open that familiar door. She'd let him visit just for a while. It must all have blown over by now. His skin is starting to be rubbed raw. Dried blisters that had burst. The copper smell of old blood filling his shoes. How could he have been so stupid as to think he could get away with living? How is he to blame? He's human. Everyone makes mistakes. He doesn't want this anymore. He's been walking for so long. His body's always so, so hot. Images flit. It could be people. He may know them. He is rust. He is oil. But he was the light. His hair is matted, almost blocking his eyes. Can they even see me? Will this ever stop? He just wants to make it stop. He just wants it to stop. He just wants to go home now. To walk to that shit apartment. Just to be somewhere again.
Imagine a world with laughing robots. Robotic servants. You can buy one. And when you open the box, there it is. A robotic assistant with one goal in life.
to make you laugh. To make you grin, guffaw, chuckle. But there was one problem. These laughing robots were too good. Too well designed. People began not showing up for work. Bodies were found in pools of their own rot. Their assistant standing by blinking. Entertaining their masters to death. News gets out. Journalist journal. Society begins to develop its antibodies of shame and guilt. And shun people who spend too much time with them. Society comes up with names, warns their children. These robots. No one says they don't work. That's not the conversation. But they've advanced to such a state that they can essentially level someone's sense of themselves. Their tragedies are somehow less tragic. Their joys made at arm's length away. People stop dealing with the minutiae of life. Things that stop them from laughing. People stop coping. Things that are merely obstacles are avoided. Once the technology exists, do you think that the recalls did anything? Do you think that the software was stolen and spread? Hardware jimmy-rigged. Robots of all shapes and sizes. Speakers of all qualities. Made, not born. Who knows what it will look like when we find Pandora's box.
Clowns came to town last Thursday, and they are still here. We thought that they would have moved off by now. But it looks like they are settling in. They look like they are getting comfortable. This is not good. They've been going around in packs. Sometimes a small clown car will pull up outside of a butcher's shop or a pie shop, and up to 17 clowns will get out. They are funny looking. They are a funny looking lot, these clowns. And I don't mean funny ha ha. I mean there's something funny about the clowns. Yes, we've had clowns before, a few here and there. But this is a lot of clowns. They have a bad vibe. I think they even smell bad. I saw a few of the clowns smoking behind the bicycle shop. One of the clowns was chasing a small dog in the park, laughing like a maniac. I thought to myself, if he catches that dog, I bet he will kill it and eat the meat. What do the clowns want? There's even more here this week. They've been here for 2 weeks now. You can't go anywhere in the downtown without seeing them in the parks or on the street corners. I took a shortcut through the dog park the other day, and I came across a large pile of clowns just lying there. A tall, stinking pile of clowns. Some of the locals are starting to wear makeup and wigs. I guess these are the, if you can't beat them, join them crowd. When I went to pick up my prescription, I even thought I saw some pie filling in old Mr. McAllister's eyebrows. What is happening to us? What do the clowns want? I've been playing church music on my old cassette recorder. I've tried reading somber accounts of foreign wars. I've practiced my sternest looks as a way of combating this invasion of clowns. There is a drastic shortage of balloons in town. I haven't seen a pie in the stores for weeks. And now, it's almost impossible to buy shoes that actually fit. I see lineups in front of the dry cleaning store. Is it me, or have all the cars become tiny versions of what they once were? What is happening to us? Now, Now people are saying that they like the clowns. Jim across the street had a few clowns over for dinner. Over the fence, I saw Jim and his wife squeezing the clowns' noses and then roaring with laughter when it made a loud honking noise. I couldn't even think to touch that thing, that repulsive red bloated nose. Jim asked us over for a barbecue. I said we couldn't. I made up some kind of weak excuse. But I know Jim saw through it. But why? Why is he helping these clowns? Guy down at the library. I used to think of him as Pigeon Man. Well, his name is actually Dale, and yes, he kind of smells, but I got to talking to him today, and we were talking about the clowns. And I thought, finally, somebody who understands my point of view. He said he saw one of the clowns grab a squirrel and break its neck. These clowns have to go. They are a menace. They're dangerous. My wife even said that I've lost my sense of humor. I went to the internet and I looked up some jokes and I read them to see if I still found them funny. I didn't. I just got madder and madder. I was talking with Dale today, and he says he has a plan. He wanted me to come to the meeting that was going to be held out behind the Walmart. I said I couldn't come because I'm preparing for my recital. He looked disappointed. The recital went pretty well, I think. I think the Russian pieces were good, but I still don't feel I've really captured the Ravel. I heard what happened after in the recital hall. Somebody was talking about it. They were laughing, describing how the clowns were being chased. And how the grease truck crashed, and then all this slapstick ensued. I knew that was Dale's plan.
Do you have any feelings about the clowns?
I think that what they're doing is good. I think that the world needs comedy, but they're so often sad about it. And the depressed clown. And but it is sort of an archetype, right? You know, the one who makes everyone laugh is dying on the inside. So.
Got it.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, experimental radio from NASCAD University. This week's episode was Pandora's Clown Car. It was written by David Clark and Mark Hines. Sound design and mixing were by David Clark. This week's episode featured field recordings from the School of Poetic Computation in New York and the NASCAD Media Arts live stream to the Tate Museum in London. Please join us again next week for more of Nothing to See Here. Please friend us on Facebook at Nothing to See Here Radio, and go to soundcloud.com, Nothing to See Here Radio, for more episodes. Last week, Nothing to See Here traveled to the TransX Transmission Symposium in Toronto. We are pleased to present from that festival a short audio drama produced by Philadelphia sound artist Christian Derek Bell and his students. This piece is called Eiffel Tower Wedding Party.
You are on the first platform of the Eiffel Tower.
Look, an ostrich. It crosses the stage. It goes off. Here's the hunter. He looks for the ostrich. He peers. He sees something. He aims. He fires.
Heavens, a telegram.
The explosion wakes up the manager of the Eiffel Tower. He appears.
Hello, monsieur. You think you are out hunting?
I'm following an ostrich. I thought I saw it caught in the grillwork of the Eiffel Tower.
And so you killed a telegram on me.
I didn't do it on purpose.
End of conversation.
Here is the official Eiffel Tower photographer. He speaks. What does he say?
Didn't you just see an ostrich go by?
Yes, I'm looking for it.
Well, believe it or not, my camera is out of order. Usually when I say, now don't move, watch the birdie, a little bird is what they see. This morning, I say to a lady, watch the birdie. And an ostrich steps out. I'm trying to find the ostrich to get it to go back into the camera.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the plot thickens. The manager of the Eiffel Tower suddenly notices that his address is on the telegram.
He opens it.
Eiffel Tower manager, stop. Coming for wedding. Breakfast. Stop. Kindly reserve table.
But this telegram is dead.
It's precisely because it's dead that everybody understands it.
Quick! We've just time to set the table. I cancel your fine. I appoint you official waiter of the Eiffel Tower restaurant. Photographer, to your post.
They spread the tablecloth.
Wedding march. The bride, gentle as a lamb.
The father-in-law, rich as Croesus.
The bridegroom, handsome as Apollo.
Mother-in-law, false as a bad penny.
The general, stupid as a goose.
Look at him. He thinks he's on his mark, Mirabelle.
The ushers, strong as Turks.
The bridesmaids, fresh as roses.
The manager of the Eiffel Tower extends his hospitalities. He shows them a bird's eye view of Paris.
I'm getting dizzy.
The general shouts, to the table, to the table, and the wedding party sits down around the table.
Only on one side of the table so the audience can see you.
The general rises.
The general's speech. After his speech, the general recounts the mirage phenomenon from which he suffered in Africa.
I was eating a tart with the Duke of Aumale. This tart was covered with wasps. In vain, we tried to chase them away. Actually, they were tigers.
What?
Tigers. They were prowling around by the thousands. A mirage projected them in miniature above our tart, and we mistook them for wasps.
You would never think he was 74 years old.
But who is this charming cyclist wearing culottes?
Pardon me, gentlemen?
Madame, may we be of any service?
Am I on the road to Chateau?
Yes, madame. Simply follow the railway tracks.
It's the general who's answering the cyclist. He takes her for a mirage.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just witnessed a mirage. They are quite frequent on the Eiffel Tower. This cyclist, in reality, is pedaling along the road to Chateau.
After this instructive interlude, the photographer steps forward. What does he say?
I am the official Eiffel Tower photographer, and I'm going to take your picture.
Yes.
Form a group.
Adieu, old friend. From your first campaign, you gave proof of an intelligence beyond your rank. You never surrendered, even to evidence. Your end is worthy of your career. We saw you, defying the beast, careless of danger, not even understanding it, and not taking flight until the instant you understood it. Once more, adieu. Or rather, au revoir, for your kind will perpetuate itself as long as there are men on this earth.
O'clock, and the ostrich has not come back yet. Oof, what a dance.
Your arm?
Monsieur photographer, surely you won't decline a glass of champagne.
You are too kind. I am overwhelmed.
Well, when in Rome, you know, but what does my grandson want?
I want someone to buy me some bread to feed the Eiffel Tower.
They sell it down below. I'm not going down.
I want to feed the Eiffel Tower.
It is only fed at certain hours. That's why it has grills around it.
I want to feed the Eiffel Tower.
No and double no.
The wedding party cries out, for here is the ostrich. She was hiding in the elevator. She looks for another hiding place. The hunter approaches. The photographer wishes it would hide in the camera.
He remembers that one only has to hide an ostrich head to make it invisible.
He hides its head in his hat, in the nick of time.
Have you seen the ostrich?
No.
My son-in-law. You can thank me for all this. Whose idea was it to come to the Eiffel Tower? Whose idea was it to have the wedding on the 14th of July?
The child stamps his foot.
Papa, Papa.
What does he say?
I want to have my picture taken with the general.
General, surely you won't refuse our little Justin this pleasure?
Agreed.
Poor photographer, with a heavy heart, he loads his camera.
The child, astride his sword, pretends to be listening to the general, who pretends to read to him out of a book by Jules Verne.
Don't move. Perfect. Watch the birdie.
Good lord, a lion. The photographer hides behind his camera. The wedding party climbs into the grillwork of the Eiffel Tower. The lion stares at the general, for the general alone does not move. He speaks. What does he say?
Don't be afraid. There can be no lion on the Eiffel Tower. Therefore, it is a mirage, a simple mirage. Mirages are, so to speak, the white lies of the desert. This lion is actually in Africa, just as the cyclist was on the road to Chateau. This lion sees me, I see him, and yet we each recognize that we are simply reflections.
To confound the incredulous, the general approaches the lion. The lion gives a great roar. The general runs off, pursued by the lion.
The general disappears under the table. The lion disappears behind him.
After a minute, which seems like a century, the lion comes out from beneath the tablecloth.
Horror, horror!
What's that in his mouth?
A big spur.
Having eaten the general, the lion goes back into the camera. Poor general.
He was so gay, so youthful in outlook. Nothing would have amused him more than his death. He would have been the first to chuckle at it.
Obsequies of the general.
The father-in-law delivers the eulogy. What does he say?
Adieu. Adieu, old friend. From your first campaign, you gave proof of an intelligence beyond your rank. You never surrendered, even to evidence. Your end is worthy of your career. We saw you, defying the beast, careless of danger, not even understanding it, and not taking flight until the instant you understood it. Once more, adieu. Or rather, au revoir, for your kind will perpetuate itself as long as there are men on this earth.
Grace? Oh, I've had a few. Then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. Saw it through without exception. Oh, I've lived a life this full. I've travelled each and every byway. More, much more than this. I did it my way.
I'm Mary Longford. My feet are small. They always have been. Squat, wide, and freckled, with a mind of their own. My hands are small. They always have been. Stubby fingers, bitten nails, freckled nibs with, yes, a mind of their own. My breasts are small. They always have been. Gnat bites, peas on a drum, 28B is how they've been described. They are freckled and have a mind of their own.
Now, Mr. Fisher, before I pull your tooth out, would you like a little something for the pain?
Yes, I think I'll have gas.
I'm sorry, sir, we've only got electric lights. Do, 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 do.
Mark Rothko. Or may I say, you're beautiful. Beautiful. You're so beautiful. And you and Jimmy Joyce are dancing with one voice in heaven. 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 And I will be with you soon. Laughing.
What's your name? Philip Masters.
I've been smashed left, right, center.
He's just a bloody drug addict!
Yeah, he's been terrific! Look at him!
I love men, but not men who don't shave regularly.
Fuck off! Stop denying your joy and your energy, man! Wake up! Wake up!
There's nothing real in anything you do!
Our duty is to think. To the bomb.
You lot are a load of wankers.
Yeah.
There's a war going on out there. A war between the spirit and the mind.
People aren't human beings.
Between intelligence and inertia. Between the eternal presence and the past.
The devil and his dirty crew. Cars and my cars.
Between faith and rationale. Between hip and square.
I'm communicating beyond the warp of conditioning.
Don't change your mind when you meet the sunshine.